1 Peter chapter 5, we did that reading. We have been showing the characteristics for success in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter was written to a group of Christians who were under great persecution, under great trial. And in that writing, he comes to this fifth chapter, which really gives us some very key ingredients to success in the Christian life. We saw verses 1 through 4 that this passage shows us that we need to expect spiritual pastoral leadership. And if you want to be successful in your Christian life, you need to get involved in a Bible-believing church, a church where the pastor, verse 2, feeds the flock of God. He oversees that flock and does it with a ready mind, not with a not for money's sake, neither trying to push his way and be an authoritarian dictator, but as it says in verse 3, being an example to the flock. You need to be a part of a flock. And when we think about a flock, we think of a flock of sheep. And when you are a part of a flock, if you were a sheep, you would be a part of that certain shepherd's oversight. And that pastor in that church, verse 4, when the Lord Jesus, who is the chief shepherd, so that's an interesting, isn't it? You've got the pastor, and then you've got the chief pastor. You've got the shepherd, and you've got the chief shepherd. The pastor has to answer to God. And the Bible tells us that that has the ultimate possible result of the crown of glory that fades not away. So, the scripture tells you, if you are going to be a successful Christian, I've seen this true, you need to be a part of the leadership of a godly pastor. Number two, we saw that if you are going to be successful in your Christian life, you need to be humble. Verse 5, just as younger people should submit to the elder people, and everyone should have an attitude of subjection. Now, the word subject there, if you remember, has the idea of being in its proper rank. So you have these, just like in the military, you have the highest rank of general to private. And when the private tries to act like and take the place of the general, they are out of rank. And the Bible here tells us that younger people need to respect older people. And the whole idea of this millennial generation that somehow doesn't respect anybody over 30, all I can say to those people is, guess what, you're going to be 30 one day. And the scripture tells us to be clothed with what? Now, we're reading the Bible, so if you're just waiting for me to say something, I'm just going through the text. Verse 5 says you are to be clothed with what? Humility. Interesting word for clothed. It means to have a bow and tie in a knot or a bow. So just like you would put on an apron if you were a cook, the Bible says what you need to do is put on you and tie it closely to you is humility. Why? What's it say? Why? God resists prideful people. But what does He do for those who are humble? He gives grace. We need God's grace. We need God's enablement. And the Bible tells us, therefore, verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you. Now, it's interesting. So God says, I will exalt you if you stay humble. I will help you if you'll stay humble. When will He help you? When will He exalt you? in due time. So in His good time, He will exalt you. So if you want to be successful in your Christian life, number one, you need to expect and be under good, godly, pastoral leadership. And number two, you need to be humble. Now, thirdly, we see in the Scripture that if you are going to have success in your Christian life, very simple verse, verse 7. How many of you have memorized this verse? It's an easy one to memorize. Matter of fact, let's make sure you memorize it before you leave today. Now, if I were to point to you and say, okay, quote that verse. Some of you would say, what verse? Because I don't even have a Bible in front of me. If you have a Bible in front of you, it's verse 7. But most of you could say it without looking at the verse. It tells us in verse 7, when he talks about the hand of God casting, say it with me, all your care on him, for he careth for you. So it's interesting. He says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Let's try that. Don't look at your Bible. Okay, close your eyes. Let's say it together. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all, say it again. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, if you would do that, now obviously you need to be under pastoral leadership. You need to be humble. But the Bible says also you need to take all your cares. Like I said, I thought I was to care. I thought I should be a caring person. What is he saying there? Interestingly enough, the care there is speaking about a disturbed mind. It comes from a word which has the idea of being divided, to have a divided mind. And it's important to understand the problem of having a divided mind. Or we could describe it this way, the problem of worry. This is what we're dealing with. And the Scripture tells us that we are to not worry. And there's a real problem with that. Now, it's interesting because when you go to the Bible, hold your hand here, go over to Matthew chapter 13, and this will show you some of the problems of worrying. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gives the parable. Now, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. I have never found a better explanation of a parable than that. An earthly story with a what? Heavenly meaning. So in other words, Jesus would get people lost in the story and then make a spiritual application. Now, this is the parable of the sower. And the Bible tells us that the sower went forth to sow. And some of those soils that the seed that was sown landed in really did not allow that seed to grow. Now, the Bible tells us that the seed is the Word of God. So Jesus is making a spiritual application with a heavenly meaning as a result of an earthly story. So he said, just like the sower, he sows seed, and he sows the seed in thorns. And he said that that's going to create problems. Matthew chapter 13, look at verse 22. Matthew 13, verse 22. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that hears the word. Now here you are. You know, the word of God is being preached to you. I am trying my best to not just give you a bunch of my opinions. I think I got some pretty good opinions, frankly. probably the best opinions in all the world. I don't see why anybody would disagree with me in my opinions. But the reality is, you are not commanded to obey my opinions. But you are commanded to obey God's word. And the scripture here tells us that those who receive seed among thorns is he that hears the word. And at the end of that verse, certain things choke the word. So just like in seed that grows up, and that that thorn, those thorns keep the seed from growing. And the Bible here tells us that one of the things that will keep you from growing and even going forward toward godliness, it says, he that heareth the word and the what? Care of the world. Now you cannot be successful as a Christian when the cares of this world are choking out the word. Now obviously, to care is a virtue. It's good for me to be caring. But the reality is, for me to take those cares and try to handle life's problems through all those cares becomes something that divides my mind. And the Bible says here that the cares of this world, and it talks about things such as the deceitfulness of riches, this causes that seed to not grow. So this is a real problem. So when I worry, I am distracted. And the scripture tells me that in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says that we need to be careful about the care that I have. Now, what is it? What is worry? And how does that show itself? Probably one of the greatest ways that worry shows itself is the fact of fear. And when I am afraid of something, it causes me to worry. To be concerned about something is certainly legitimate. It's possible for me, while driving a car, to say I need to be concerned enough to not go off the road. I certainly don't want to go into traffic. But what about when you are in an airplane and you don't have control of that plane? What causes some people to get in a panic stage? It's called fear. And the interesting thing is that many times the fears of this life cause us to get distracted. Let's do a little bit of a Bible study. Look with me to the book of 1 Samuel. Because you all know 1 Peter 5, 7, right? What does it say? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Let's say it again, because some of you don't have it memorized. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So let's do a little bit of Bible study. Look over to the book of 1 Samuel. Here's an interesting story. Here's the story of David and Goliath. And in 1 Samuel, chapter 17, the scripture here tells us that David was approached, he had seen Goliath. But so did the people of Israel. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 11. Now here's Goliath, big old goon. This guy's probably over 9 feet tall. Do you realize how tall that is? I mean, he might be able to touch that fan with his head. And when you stop and think about it, that this guy comes out and says, okay, I'm going to fight you goons. And if you want to defeat the Philistines, you come and you send your best man. And he says, and if I kill you, you're our slaves. And if you kill me, we're your slaves. Now, we know the story, and we're not going to develop the story, that David comes along and he kills that big goon with a slingshot. Boom! Right in the head. Boom! And he dies. And David goes, picks up his sword, cuts off his head. But notice King Saul's reaction, verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were what? Dismayed. And they were greatly afraid. You know, it's interesting that a lot of people worry because of the fear of man. They're afraid. They're afraid of ISIS. You know, I'm not a big conspiracy theorist. Now, if you tell me, yeah, they're all coming and they're all going to take us away in white coats or whatever, and I'll probably smile at you and say, well, I don't know about that. I mean, I've been told stories what Clinton was going to do and what the Democrats are going to do and those black helicopters that are all over. And you know, and I think I could care less about these things. Now, if they start coming after me, I'll start listening. But the reality is, some people are afraid so much, they not only lock their doors, they use about 25, you know, deadbolts. And it's a situation where they worry about what's going to happen to them. It's interesting. We're told in the book of... Let's go to Mark. Let's go to the New Testament. In the book of Mark, there's another story. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 38. Mark chapter 4 and verse 38. Now here's the story of Jesus. Here's Jesus riding in a boat. I've been on the Sea of Galilee. And I don't know how to tell this story, but was it the second time when you were with me, Joe, that we were out on the Sea of Galilee and these pigeons were flying all over the place? And I thought, wow, that is really neat, until one of them dropped on me. Here I have my nice jacket on, the wonderful experience about being in the Sea of Galilee, and boom! I got to get this off of me. If you were on the Sea of Galilee, you'd see that there are mountains on the one side, which sometimes wind currents would come across very fast. And the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 4 that verse 35, the same day when the even was come, verse 36, they had sent away the multitude they took with him as it was in the ship, and there was also with other little ships. And there arose a great storm, and the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. So here is this big storm, and it was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, what's the next word? Don't you care? Aren't you worried about the fact that we could drown? That we could perish? Verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so what? See, worry is often a result of fear. It's also, as you'll see in verse 4, it is also a lack of faith. So when we start talking about worrying, if I were to ask you, when do you expect to die? You're going to lay, unless the rapture takes place, you're going to lay probably in a casket somewhere. You're going to be put in the ground. And some people think about that, and they think, man, I'll be there all alone. No, I'll be with Jesus. I know that's the right biblical answer, but I'm going to die. Are you afraid of death? Some people worry about death. And they think, you know, this is a terrible thing. And probably one of the greatest fears we have is not only that we are going to die, but somebody we love very dearly is going to die. And the Bible tells us this can create a divided mind. Look over with me to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And verse 41 in your Bible, here's the story of Mary and Martha. Now, here's the story. Here are two sisters who are trying to provide a meal for Jesus and his clan, those apostles. I mean, that's a good group of people. It's more than the Nimskern family. You know, you got all these people, and they're there, and they're sitting there, and Jesus is there. And so here's Mary and Martha. And Martha, doing the right thing, she cooks for Jesus. And her beloved sister isn't doing a thing, but just sitting there listening to Jesus. And Martha gets to the point where she says, well, you know, I think what I will do is try to get Martha to get to work. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get Jesus on her. Jesus, why don't you have my sister come and help me? Verse 41 of Luke chapter 10. Jesus said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and what? Troubled about many things. Things. That's that same from that basic word of worry. See, Martha was worried about the biscuits being served on in a timely way, and Mary was spending her time getting to know Jesus. Now, Jesus said to her, Martha, the problem isn't that you're cooking a meal for us, but you're worried about it, and you're frantic, and you're just going through all kinds of divided thinkings. And you're thinking about things that just are going to trouble you. But Mary, verse 42, hath chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. Do you see, this is why a divided mind will be like that thorn that will choke out the Word of God. Because you're so concerned about getting everything done and doing this and doing that, that you don't spend time with Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Tell me about last week. Not verbally, but in your mind. How many days did you spend with Jesus last week? When you got up and you're busy and you got this to do, that to do, and this to do, did you take time to be with the Lord? Certainly not wrong to make sure you have your responsibilities met. But when you begin to allow the situations of your life to get you so caught up that you don't have time for God, then you have crossed the line. And that care becomes something that divides you. And it's important that we understand that those kind of cares will divide us and will cause us. You know, this is why people don't go to church. They're so busy. This is why people don't read their Bible. They're just too busy. And the Bible says we should not worry. And there are so many things that we could worry about. What will happen to my children? What about financial concerns? If you go over to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, this is a passage that most of you already know. Matthew chapter 6. Now, the English version, the translation by the King James translator is very interesting. He uses the word, they use the word, verse 25, instead of worry, instead of cares. Verse 25, he said unto you, take what? No thought. Don't take thought. Don't worry. Don't let your mind be divided. Not only the fear of man and the fear of death and the many responsibilities we have, but he says in verse 25, you worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. You worry about your body, what you're going to put on, what kind of clothes you're going to have. You know, it's wonderful to have things, but when things begin to interfere with our relationship with God, then that becomes a worry. And Jesus says, don't worry. Don't take thought. Don't allow yourself to be the kind of a person that's going to be all distracted by these things. What's our verse? Remember we memorized this verse? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So, what is the solution to worry? You know it. You just memorized the verse. What is it? So take all those cares, all those worries, and cast them upon God. And basically, it's an interesting word. It's the word that is used in another portion in the New Testament. I have a little note here that's interesting. It's in Luke chapter 19:35. This exact word is the only other time it's used in the New Testament. And I want you to help understand what that is. Let me read it to you. It's Luke 19:35. They brought unto Him Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. What is that referring to? Okay, the triumphant entry of Jesus. The very word that's used, they cast their garments upon the colt. What a beautiful picture. To take all my worries, to take all my cares, and cast them upon who? Well, casting all your care on, okay, so we could say Jesus. But what's the context? 1 Peter 5, verse 6 says, God. So, in other words, we need to take all our cares and our worries and the things that we have to do and the things that we have to be doing and the problems of life and people and things and pressures and trials and all kinds of things. I need to take all of those and just lay them on God. Kind of like, and I've often said this, kind of like going to the bank and you make a deposit. How many have ever made a deposit in the bank? All right, you know what I'm talking about. You imagine taking that money, maybe you got a check, and you deposit it to the bank, and maybe you are a very busy person, so you have to go through drive-thru. Or click, click, take a picture of it, send it on. But now, it's in the hands of the bank. It's out of my control. I don't know what to do. The bank has my money. Is that what you do? No. Why? Because you trust the bank. That may not be a very safe trust, but you trust the bank. You know, so you trust the fact that that bank is going to take care of that. You know that once you have done your part, that you're good to go. You made your deposit. Now, it's always bad when you forget to make that deposit. And checks are written. Some people think if I've got checkbooks, you know, if checks, I can write checks. But you got to have money to back that check up. But it doesn't do you any good if you don't make the deposit. So the scripture tells us casting all your care on Him. Now, how do you do that? See, if the Bible would give me some kind of clue about how to do that, that would be very good. Now, obviously, it begins with faith, right? And it's interesting because the Bible tells us that we need to trust God. Let me quote a verse from you. This is in Isaiah 12, verse 2. It says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." So it obviously begins with faith. And this is why Jesus, when the disciples were on that boat and they were afraid, Jesus said, "O ye of little faith." Do you believe God? You know, it's easy to say you believe God, but do you really? You know, the Bible tells us that God will take care of us. The Bible tells us that God is someone that will meet our needs. He knows our future. You know, the reality is, yeah, somebody could kill me, but until God is through with me, I'm immortal. But I have to trust God. But what do I do when I trust God? I think you know. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. This tells us how to cast our care on Him. Verse 6, Philippians chapter 4. What does it say? Be careful for nothing. There it is again. That's another word for don't worry. So, the Bible tells me to not worry, but what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to cast my care on Him. How? In faith, I have to, in verse 6, do something. What is it? Pray. Well, that's deep. Boy, that really, man, that's profound, preacher. How many have ever memorized Philippians 4:6? Many of you have. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So it's kind of like this. Let's make a worry list. Can we do this? All right? And you fill in your own blanks. We've already mentioned, okay, the fear of man. We could talk about the fear of the future. We could talk about the fear of getting my bills paid. The fear of my health. The fear of death. Fear of all these things. What are you worried about? What is it that just kind of seems to just keeping you up at night? You can't sleep because this is constantly going through your mind. How is this going to happen? How is that going to happen? I'm supposed to do this. How is this going to work out? Put out your list there. What is your worry list? All right? Now, take your pencil, cross out the word worry, and put the word prayer. There's your prayer list. Pray to God. Now, God knows our needs. Now, I can say, Lord, you know I'm a little concerned about how I'm going to get this bill paid, and I don't know how this is going to happen or if I'm going to be able to keep my job. But Lord, I trust you. I rely on you. You see, that is faith. Now, if you don't trust God, then maybe you need to get saved. And if you are saved, maybe you need to come back to your salvation when you said, "Jesus, I believe in you." And you need to trust God. I don't know what you're worried about. But the Bible tells us to cast all our care. Just lay it on Him. How do you do that? You just bring it before the Lord and pray. Now, it's interesting that verse in verse 6 says prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So God is able to meet our needs. So the problem with worry is that it divides our minds. The solution to worry, right there in 1 Peter 5:7, is what? Cast your care on Him. Just believe God. It's simple faith. Now, if you don't think God can take care of your needs, just always remember some verses in the Bible that tell us that with man, it's impossible. But with God, what? All things are possible. Think about that. You say, well, how do I get faith? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. No wonder Satan distracts us from the Bible. And just pray. Say, Lord, help. Seek God's face. Casting what? All your care upon Him. Just like that blanket on the colt. Why? Because He cares for you. Can we say that verse again? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So it's interesting, isn't it, that the Bible tells us God hasn't left us alone. God is not in some way disinterested in us. The Bible says God cares for you. Now, somebody may not care for you the way you'd want them to care for you, but you might be very aware of the fact that God truly cares for you. He is interested in you. If He were to send His own Son to die for your sin, will He not freely give you all things, Romans 8 tells us? Matthew 6, can we go back there? Matthew chapter 6 tells us how Jesus cares for us, how God cares for us. The Bible tells us in verse 26. Can we read this out loud together? This is how much God cares. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? So the Bible tells us that God cares for us more than He cares for the fowls of the air. He cares for us more than the creatures of this world. He loves us greatly. You say, well, I've not been a very good person. Yeah, but God still loves you. God always cares for you. And the Bible tells us that in verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now verse 30, let's read it together. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe ye? Here we have again, O ye of little faith. So therefore, don't take thought for your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. God knows your needs. Now, sometimes because of sin in our lives, He takes these away from us because He cares more about us getting right with God than to having a full tummy. But He does want us desperately to understand that He cares for us. And if He cares for us, the Bible tells us, then you can count on the fact that you can cast all your care upon Him. Why? For He cares for you. Say that with me again. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Boy, you know, it's kind of like picking up a piano. And let's say I decide I'm going to take this piano and put it out in the shed. Because we got a brand new $10,000 baby grand piano. We don't, this illustration. And I say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pick this up and carry it out. How many think I can do it? Oh, ye of little faith. I can't do it. So what happens when I can't do it? So I get someone, can you help me? So I get some of you guys. Half our church is crippled. But, you know, we the ones that aren't, you know, we carry this big old piano. And have you ever just had to carry something like that and they all take their hands off it and you're the last person holding it before it goes into the truck? You know, before that, you were kind of acting like you were really struggling when everybody else was doing the work. But now, you're carrying that weight. So you say, come here, I need help. And the Bible tells us that we need to take all our cares and just put them on God. Why? He cares for us. And when the cares of this life are too heavy for us to carry, we need to have the confidence and the trust that we can hand those cares over to God. This isn't a deep sermon. This is so helpful. To take all those things and say, God, you're a big God. You created the world in 6 days. You're so big, you rested on the seventh day. You did all these things. You've taken care of me through my life. Here, I need your help. But see, this is where humility comes in. Pride says, I want to do it myself. But God says, no, you trust me. Now maybe you're someone who is not even saved. Maybe you have never trusted Jesus to be your Savior. Can I encourage you? The best day of your life would be the day that you by faith receive Jesus to be your Savior. Someone said, well, I've always believed in Jesus. No, you have not always believed in Jesus. The Bible says you must by faith depend on what Jesus did on the cross to be the full payment for your sin. And then after you accepted Jesus to be your Savior, the Bible says you have eternal life, but he says, I want you to go a step further. I want you to cast all your, say it with me, care upon him, for he careth for you. Some of you are getting that verse wrong. It's not cares. Care. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to truly trust you. We are so prone, Lord, to doubt you and not realize that you do care for us. Help us, Lord, to recognize that the motive for casting our care on you is because you care for us. And Lord, the problems of this world, and Lord, I don't know all the things that are going on in the minds and the hearts of every individual here, but Lord, you do. Lord, if each individual remembers nothing else, help them to remember the verse to cast all their care on you because you care for us. And I pray, Father, that you would work in someone's heart. Maybe they do not know 100% if they died, if they'd go to heaven. Lord, help them to trust you and to accept Jesus to be their Savior. And we'll praise you for what you're going to do. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. No one looking around. Christians praying. Maybe God is dealing with your heart. Whatever your need. If maybe you say, there's some things that I have been worried about, I just need to come and pray. Maybe there's something else you just want to come and pray. Maybe you have not accepted Jesus. We'd love to have someone talk to you to show you how to go to heaven when you die. If God is dealing with you, as the pianist plays, you come. You have your hymn books, number 430. Let's turn in our hymnals. Sometimes when life seems gentle, 430. Let's sing this together. Sometimes when life seems gentle and blessings flood my way, I turn my gaze away from you and soon forget to pray. But when the light grows darker, rage turns to fear, my anxious voice cries upward with words you long to hear. Lord, I need you. When the sea life is calm, O Lord, I need you. When the wind is blowing strong, whether trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Sing on the second. Lord, help me to remember I'm weak, but you are strong. I cannot sing apart from you, for Lord, you are my song. Although I'm prone to wander and boast in all I do, Lord, keep my eyes turned upward, so I depend on you. Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, oh Lord, I need you. When the wind is blowing strong, whether trials come or cease, keep me on my knees. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Our Father, we thank you for this day, and help us, Lord, to always remember that everything you bring into our lives is to help us to depend on you. For Jesus' sake, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming today.